Hello, you're listening to Reedy Geeks, a Walt Disney World podcast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined today by Mayor of Maelstrom, Sean.
Good morning.
The Muppet Master, JJ.
I like that.
And Honorary Geek, Michael.
Good evening.
If you have a good title for my co-host after listening to this episode, please send in your ideas to reedygeeks@gmail.com. In today's episode, we wrap up our series on the Disney Vacation Club by exploring Michael's and my DVC journey. So previously on Reedy Geeks, we talked about the pros and cons of joining the Disney Vacation Club and who we believe that the Disney Vacation Club was mainly for. Now, Michael and I both joined Disney Vacation Club around the same time. So today's episode, we're going to explore our journey, how we decided to become members, what the process was like, and what we've done with those points thus far. So, Michael, why don't you start us off by telling us when you started going to Disney? Because I started going when I was younger, yeah. Right? And then I stopped and continued on later on. But when did you start going?
Yeah, I believe you've been going your whole life, so much so that you've had a nickname known as the Disney Kid.
Well,
back it's actually in, Disney Boy.
I'm sorry.
Disney
was
Boy?
It Disney Boy?
Okay. Was it Boy? Right? That's so much worse.
That is worse. Wait, Disney? No, Disney Kid.
It was Disney
Kid. Disney Boy sounds like an insult.
Yeah.
Disney
yeah.
Boy.
Well,
I mean, I was 9 years old, so.
He was just a boy.
I was a boy.
And aren't we all still Disney Boys?
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah, well, it's the experience that I've had with Disney was probably some can relate. But I went as a child, and I'd love to do a whole episode on that and my mother's experience. And we'll get to that at some point. But
that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a good one. I got reintroduced to it as an adult, where I went to go visit the Magic Kingdom for the day, and I was kind of shot back to my childhood where I that nostalgia kick kind of came in, and I was like remembering all the fun I had as a child, and I thought, okay, this might be fun to do again as adult and experience that. So I ended up planning a trip. We went on a proper trip to go and explore the entirety of Disney World, and it was at that point where I learned about DVC and that was even an option.
And I was going regularly as a young kid with my family, but in my college years and after college, my thoughts of Disney were always when Sean would go. Sean actually went a lot after college when your sister was working in the program, the college program.
In the program.
Yeah. And I remember texting you all the time, like, can I fit in your suitcase? Can you just bring me along?
There was a period where I was probably there at least once a year, usually twice, for like, I would say a good 5 or 6 years there, where it was like just every 6 or 7 months I'm going to be in Disney World doing something. So
probably from like 2011 to like 2017, right?
That time sounds about right.
So then this started shortly after that, because once Michael was going in 2018, I got very jealous, right? And I had just been 2 years dating my now wife Emily, and I wanted to show her what I grew up with, right? Like, I wanted to show her, like, she'd only experienced Disney twice in her life, and so I wanted to take her along my childhood experiences there. So that's when I started going back again in 2018, so I was like 30 years old, right? And our first stay was at Boardwalk, and I planned the whole trip. And I planned a whole trip. I packed it full. We did Universal too a little bit for Harry Potter. We had resort days. We stayed there for like, I think, 10 or 11 days.
Wow.
And Emily did not know the cost. She did not know until we got back.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And she has admitted to me, a couple months later, she admitted to me, I wish we never went on that trip because it was just so expensive. Staying for like 11 nights.
But was this like you're trying to impress?
I was trying to impress her. I wanted her to fall in love with Disney. Yeah.
But like, were you covering costs Or was it with the ex?
No, he said so no. He was going to send her a bill. He did.
This is an audio experience. Yeah. He's shaking his head no.
So I did edit to Splitwise, yeah. No. If anyone knows the app Splitwise when you split bills.
When you sign up for Splitwise, use promo code ReadyGeeks.
ReadyGeeks, promo code ReadyGeeks.
Well, but, and you know, like, to that point, Emily has no idea how much Disney costs. We haven't gone, you know, as a family, we went out twice as kids. But you don't realize what that entailed, and you know,
right?
And to stay at a deluxe resort like Boardwalk, it's a primo resort.
We did consider staying at Port Orleans, which would have been, you know, fantastic as well.
Yeah, it just would have been a bus ride instead of
walking to Epcot.
Walking to
Hollywood Studios. Yeah.
But you know, together we made it wasn't like my decision to stay at Boardwalk. We made that decision together as like, hey, listen, if we're doing this. Like, we thought this was going to be the only time we would ever do it. If we're going to do this, like, this one time as a single or as a couple that has no kids and everything like that, not married, let's go all out on it.
I mean, there's something to be said about going all out. Like, when I went in 2018 as well, we did Beach Club. We did the dining plan, the park hoppers. And it was unnecessary at the time.
Yeah.
But we didn't know because it was our first reintroduction back into Disney. Yeah. And you might not need a park hopper. You probably don't need the dining plan. No one needs to eat those many sit down.
Right. Yeah, and you got the highest dining
plan. So that all the snacks, all the appetizers, the desserts, like it's too much food.
Yeah.
You know, that in and of itself was reintroduction was learning like what Disney is.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why I panhandle outside of parks looking for people that are like on the last day of their dining plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
That sounds like a future title.
Panhandling.
I have a sign. I'm not looking for money. I'm just looking for dining credits.
You have three meals you haven't used? Give it this way. This way.
There you go.
I'm right here. I'll pay you $10.
We did that once. Three meal credits. We did that once. We were waiting. We were literally at Pop Century waiting for the bus to take us back to the airport, and we had six unused meals. We went into the cafeteria, we got pizza, we got wings, we got french fries, just sat outside just shoveling food. It's like we're gonna spend $80 eating at a restaurant in the airport.
Yeah.
So just shovel as much food into your face as you possibly can, because I think the dining plan exists the dining plan exists to trick parents into thinking it's worth the money, because it's tricking people into thinking it's convenient and easy, and it's also tricking people into thinking that it's free, because it's already part of your
it's built
into your package. So it's like, oh well, just go get breakfast, you just scan your bracelet, it's right, you get free, you know, you
when they don't really know
best. You're just prepaying for
your very, at times, very mediocre, like, restaurant.
Yeah.
Quick service, sure.
Quick service food hall.
I would say that Disney World's bread and butter, as far as food goes, is that they actually have decent sit-down restaurants, which other theme parks don't have. And there's usually a few different snack foods that are really special in each park.
The jambalaya.
None of those are meals.
In Port Orleans, French Quarter. Yeah. The jambalaya is delicious.
I want to try that next time. I love jambalaya.
Jambalaya is so good.
Just recalling that dining plan experience in 2018, I think the best bang for our buck was California Grill. Yeah. Like, you know,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. You get the appetizer, you get a main course, and you get a dessert, and you're just scanning your band, but you do pay tip.
I fight you all for dinner. My dinner.
So we spoiler alert, went the next year again, right? I know for me, Emily and I saw a special for teachers. Emily and I are both teachers, that we could stay at a Disney Springs resort for pretty cheap. But then actually we talked to your dad about staying off property at one of his, a vacation club that he's a part of, right? Now your father is a...
Correct.
My father-in-law, your father...
I was gonna say did you guys explain in the previous episode?
We
the
have explained the relationship. Yeah. But let's just quickly go over this. Yeah. Michael is Andrew's brother-in-law.
Right.
Andrew is my brother-in-law. That's how I say it.
I think you say both ways.
That's your line. Yes.
That's a line.
That's the line.
That's the line. we stayed off property and we absolutely hated it. And it could have been also the location, the place that we stayed was not that good. We tried to make a resort day there and like we realized, oh, resort days off property are not quite the same and they're not that great, right?
You'd have to specifically pick a place. Yeah. There are definitely places off property that I've stayed at and that I've almost booked. Bonnet Creek.
Bonnet Creek is on property.
Yeah,
but it's not.
But it's considered an off-property resort. Right.
Oh, I don't always need Disney magic all the time, right? No. Like, I like resorts like the Riviera,
yeah.
where there's minimal Disney. Mm-hmm. Agreed. That's kind of my speed as a childless millennial, right? Like,
I don't always need to be in the bubble. At the end of my day, I go back to my hotel. I can have a beer. I can sit in a lounge or sit in a bar and not be like life-size characters or characters walking around doing dining. I like the little bit of the escape of the Disney bubble at the end of the day.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, this is.
I also wouldn't mind staying at the Riviera.
Right, but a little knock on staying on Disney property is like
hint, hint, Andrew.
almost every other hotel in the world, you go to the hotel bar at the end of a night. They've got TVs. There's sports games on. Sports games.
Sports balls.
I like sports. I don't care who knows.
I love a good sports game, guys. Go team. But in Disney, that's few and far between.
Right.
You go to the bar and you say, it's Monday night. I want to watch Monday night football after I'm done at the parks. It's hard to do that.
You can't go back to Pop Century. And sit and watch football at the bar.
At a bar.
Right.
That does not exist in most of the resorts.
Yeah.
We just discovered actually a really good one, the Crew Cup Lounge.
Yeah.
In
Yacht Club. Yes,
Club?
Yeah. Everything Yacht about Club? The Yacht Club, Alan Compass is in Yacht Club. The Yachtsman itself, the Yachtsman.
Amazing. That's got to be a top five.
I think the Yachtsman, I like the Yachtsman better than Le Cellier.
I agree.
Oh, it's better than I think absolutely.
The steak at Yachtsman was better than Le Cellier.
Oh,
even Martha's Vineyard in the Beach Club has TVs that you can watch games at. But the Crew Cup, the offerings of the Crew Cup is way better, I think.
And there's three TVs.
There's three TVs, yeah.
We were in there and I was so distracted I couldn't follow the conversation because there was like three different movies going on and they were awesome. They were like, it was Independence Day, Jurassic Park, and like Harry Potter.
Well, you were three Blantons deep at that point.
Yeah, that's true too.
Ooh, Blantons.
Yeah.
I mean, they have Blantons. I mean, they have...
it was really great bourbon options, wine options. Yeah.
Did you ask for the bottle top?
I didn't finish. You can't ask without finishing the bottle. So okay. I
challenged him to finish the bottle.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah. Well,
so this point of having these big grandiose trips, it was at that time in 2018 where I learned about DVC because I'm a newbie reintroducing myself to the park, and someone mentioned DVC or whatever. Oh, if you're going to come to Disney, this is a great thing that you should look into. So I was like, okay, well, what is it? Okay, you can stay year after year, use a point system as opposed to a dollar. You're not paying each year because you buy these points up front. And I went, without scheduling an appointment, to the Boardwalk DVC home there, and I went to go talk to a rep. I said, shoot it to me straight. What's it going to cost me to do this? I want to come and stay at the Beach Club every year for a week. And the gentleman said, okay, well, you need 150 points or 200 points. It's going to cost you 40 grand up front, and then you pay dues, blah, 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 whatever, And that's when I truly considered buying DVC. That's a big purchase, though, right?
I mean, that's a $40,000. That's a brand new car.
That's a brand new car. That's a down payment for a house, a condo, whatever, so... It is a big commitment, and that's something you have to weigh when you're looking into this. But that was, let's say, opening Pandora's box of the concept of maybe joining this club that allows you to go and stay at Disney using a point system rather than using your credit card.
Yeah, and I remember you coming in talking to me about that, and we were at your dad's house, and I had always said that, Michael, I don't think it's worth it because I think I could always find cheaper deals and promotions and specials. And Disney usually has something going on every season, every season they'll have something for Right now, it's always about Disney Plus subscribers. If you're a Disney Plus subscriber, you can get 15% off your hotel stay or something like that. And so I thought, you know, I have a feeling that I could always find something that would be cheaper. And I also wanted to stay at multiple resorts, right? So you loved Beach Club.
Yep.
And you wanted to stay at Beach Club all the time. But I wasn't really attached to any one particular resort. And so I wanted to try them all, right? And so I thought, you know, is Disney Vacation Club the best way to do that? Also, I really like Port Orleans. There was no Skyliner at the time, but
right. But now with the Skyliner, Caribbean Beach is pretty nice.
The Coronado was very nice, especially with the new
tower. The Destino Tower is great. Beautiful.
Yeah,
but not on DVC, right?
So it's on DVC. You can't. Well, not yet.
Well, I bet you they introduced something at some point. But to your point, you know, okay, if you buy DVC, then you, in some sense, lock yourself out of staying at these other places that don't have a DVC because you're thinking, I already paid.
Right. You can, as a DVC member, there's nothing stopping you from staying at Pop Century, but why would you?
Be better to just rent out your points and then pay for that in cash, and you would save money than using your points that way. And this goes not even just for the resorts at Disney World. Like, you can, as we talked in a previous episode, you can take your points and transfer them to other vacation club and you know, get a room in New York City, get a room in Paris. Mm. You can transfer your points to Disney Cruise Line and book a cruise through it. But all of that is such a terrible redemption rate that it's not worth it. It would be more profitable to just rent out your points and then take that cash that you got from the rental and book whatever you want to do. And I just want to take a moment here and mention that whatever we really say here needs to be more researched by listeners and not taken as gospel. Like, contact DVC member services and your representative for DVC if you are a member, or if you're thinking about becoming a member, that we're not really the end all of all. Correct. Like, these are our opinions. They're not just blatant facts.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
So what finally made you guys decide to take the plunge, bite the bullet, and commit to DVC?
So I think it really started in the next year, 2020. So we're in COVID, right? And we had planned on the two of us, the three of us, me, my wife, and you, Michael, we're going to stay at Beach Club Emily and I wanted to try Beach Club, and we were going to stay there, but then COVID happened.
Right. I was raving about it. I was like, you have to come and try the Beach Club. I know you did the boardwalk, and that's great, but come try the Beach Club. We got the pool, Stormalong Bay. I was obsessed with Martha's Vineyard at that point, so we planned this trip.
And everything closed, right?
COVID hits, shuts down.
They shut down, but we had planned it for the summer, and they open back up, but Beach Club doesn't open up. So they move us to the Yacht Club. They move us to the Yacht Club. They upgrade us and slash our price.
Right.
But the Yacht Club was going to be in the bubble.
I was going to interrupt and say, I think you were a benefactor of the NBA bubble.
Yes, yeah. We were.
You were. You had to get moved around because the bubble, the playoffs were happening at Wild Water Sports while you guys were there.
Right.
So then from the Yacht Club, they sent us to, and this is like months before we're actually going, but they said, you're going to stay at the
Polynesian.
Again, upgrading us and slashing.
Because the Polynesian, as the playoffs went, there were like four teams per hotel. And as those teams got eliminated, they would condense and move teams.
Yeah.
So the hotels would open to the public or to other guests as the teams left. So like the Polynesian, the only people at the Polynesian at the time were like three or four teams. Right. And it's their entire team, their entire personnel, their staff. But as the teams left the bubble, they moved them to other hotels.
Well, I don't know what really happened, but I think the Polynesian wasn't open for regular guests. Again, because they moved us again. They said, you can't stay at the Polynesian. You're going to stay at the Contemporary.
Okay.
And they gave us a theme park view, right?
Right.
And I think it was $800 for four nights?
Yeah, it wasn't more than $900. You know, maybe there's some little tax in there.
Yeah, but it was $840 or something.
Four nights,
yeah.
Theme park view. We have, you could see the castle, Space Mountain,
and you were in the Contemporary itself.
The
you
tower.
Were in one of the
yes,
in the yeah. in the proper Contemporary.
In the A frame.
When you walk out your door, there's the monorail passing you.
Was that also the time that the Polynesian was in Reno? They were redoing the lobby. Was that during that time too? Maybe that's why it wasn't open.
You know, I'm not sure.
I think the Reno was after that.
Was
it? But it could be maybe overlap.
I think that they just didn't open it post COVID yet. And maybe they used it for the players, but mm-hmm. it just wasn't open post COVID. Yeah.
And this was also a time in the world, and specifically at Disney, where we had to wear a mask everywhere.
Yep. Yeah. Outside.
Inside, outside. Yep. Yep.
On the rides.
On the rides, everywhere. So we have some great photos of us wearing masks.
I know. It's just it's funny looking at it now, like but 4 years after.
Having that like memory is funny, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, it's incredible.
Like you have a Splash Mountain picture where you have masks on.
Yeah. Yes.
Don't you guys have one hanging in your living room?
In Andrew's living room, there is a picture of the three of you in your own boat.
Yep.
Yeah, Frozen. It's Frozen.
Oh, okay. It's Frozen. Okay.
And on Sean's favorite ride,
and it's me and Emily in the front seat holding hands, and Michael behind us in the middle of the second seat with just his hands up.
Holding nobody's hand.
just with his hands up, right? And it looks hilarious. Yeah. It looks hilarious.
Might need to post that on the Instagram.
I think so.
Put it in the show notes.
It'll be in the show. The show post for the Instagram.
But it was that trip in the August of 2020, the pandemic that you were saying that, you know, kind of inspired us to take this next leap. We knew at that point Disney was something we wanted to do year after year.
Yeah, so not only was it something we wanted to do year after year, but then I think that also solidified we want to be deluxe. Like we just, you know, like
it's crazy that it's the Contemporary that made you go, we have to stay deluxe, because that is notoriously like
the worst one.
The least deluxe of all the deluxe resorts.
I know, yeah. It is funny, but I think it's also the price. Like the fact that we were like, wow, like we didn't really extend ourselves that much, and we stayed at this amazing resort. And, you know, spoiler for when we joined DVC, that's kind of how I feel every year after our initial payment. You know, that first year was a big, you know, big payment, right? But beyond that, now I feel like, oh, I'm staying at Boardwalk, and what did we pay for these points this year? You know what I mean?
Money
like
you spent 2 years ago is not money you're spending now.
Yeah. Right.
Did you, and you can give as detailed or as non-detailed an answer as you feel, but did you pay it all off right away?
Yes. So that's one thing I would recommend is like, you know, if you have a good plan in place, financing is not a bad idea. But as we talked about in the previous episode, financing is the interest rate is very high.
It's 10% or something crazy.
Yeah, you're not saving that much when you buy DVC, finance it. You know, the whole point of DVC is like you're staying at deluxe amenities for moderate prices. And if you're financing, that's not really the case. Now, you can have a good plan where you pay off that financing that year or the next year, and then it's like not that bad. You know, you have 50 years now of enjoyment, and you just had like 2 years of like shit. You know what I mean? Of like crummy prices, crummy payments. But beyond that, like if you're planning on financing this for, I think they go up to 10 years. Yeah. Like that's totally not worth it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
100%.
Right. 10 years at 10% is crazy.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I Emily's friend, husband and I were talking, and he was like, you know, should I buy DVC? And I said, yeah, I love it. We love it. We use it all the time. But and then we talked about the price. And I said, I particularly think if you can pay for it outright, that's the way to do it. If you're going to finance, it's an additional, you know, percentage that you're paying every year on top of what that initial payment was. So that is a roadblock for people trying to get into this program, is you need a lot of money up front, depending on how many points you're going to buy. And it's a big commitment. So
this is a weird technical question that I don't think you guys may even have the answer. Are there prepayment penalties for these financing options?
Paying it off early?
Right.
I actually don't think there are.
I don't think there are.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because it. So that I mean,
I've heard too many stories of people that paid it off like pretty quickly after financing it. That you wouldn't pay a penalty for that,
right?
You
know? Because if you're someone, I don't know, if you're gonna buy $40,000 worth of points, let's say, but you really only have 15 up front, and maybe that's because you get a bonus every year from work or something, and you know it's going to be like 10 to 15 grand. And just every year, you just
JJ, don't you get a bonus from work?
Well, I don't know why you're saying that.
Sounds like Sam, you buy DVC.
Sam, earmuffs.
So, in my household, my wife was probably the last one to get on board. But she really didn't need that much convincing. The next year when we wanted to go back and we looked at prices of staying deluxe and we're like, ooh, we're not getting that contemporary deal anymore. You know, that COVID deal there. And then she said, you know, maybe we should think about DVC. And I remember driving down to Long Beach Island, New Jersey for the Ferrara yearly vacation and almost slamming the brakes on the New Jersey Turnpike. Like, what? You think we should look into it? And she's like, yeah, maybe we should look into it. And then once we got to the house, I went up straight to Michael. I'm like, Michael, I think she's in.
We got her.
That week, we rented points. It was a dedicated, it was already booked DVC at Poly for a month later.
And, you know, trying to experience the DVC life.
Yeah. And it was a good life. We enjoyed it.
The Polynesian was great. First off, if you haven't had a chance to stay there, wonderful. The pools are great.
We called this our DVC research trip.
Correct. Yeah. Yep,
and
exactly.
We met with our we went to the DVC the DVC showroom at Saratoga Springs.
Right.
Our rep, her name was Summer. She's no longer a rep for DVC, but she was amazing.
Yeah,
she was great.
Yeah, so part of that research trip was that we were going to schedule an appointment with a rep at the DVC center at Saratoga Springs, and so we went and had a meeting there, which lasted maybe about 2 hours and whatever. And we had such a great rep. One of the things you hear about timeshares over and over again is that they're pushy. They try to convince you. They throw different bonuses and deals in your face to try and get you to sign up right there and then. But Summer wasn't like that. She walked us down a path answering every question that we had and talking from her own personal experience of using DVC and why it benefited her, but not pushing us in any direction. Yeah.
And I remember being there as like Captain Resale, right? So like I kept on telling her, or I kept on saying, it's like, well, but it would be so much cheaper on resale. Like, why don't I? And her response every time was like, then just go buy resale. She said, as a representative of DVC, I want more people in DVC, right? And if there's someone out there that's not using their points or whatnot, and they want to sell, I want someone to buy those points. And so, hey, listen, go buy resale. That's totally fine. You know, like, and they were, she was
the best reverse psychology I've ever I guess, in my life.
She was really good. But then,
oh, man, like, I want Summer to sell stuff for me.
I know.
We were even in a position.
Can we hire her at Reading Geeks?
Reading Geeks.
Promo code Summer.
Those promo codes will start working if Summer's working for us.
There was a time where you were saying like, oh, well, all right. So the sell is like when we're about to leave, right? That she's going to offer something.
Yeah.
There was no offer.
No, I thought we were going to say, not today, Summer. And then she was going to go, but what about this offer? What if we give you 20%? There was no grand finale. There was no, you know, closing sale. It was just, okay. Well, let me know if you think it over. Let me know, and you know we'll go from there.
And she's like, and let me know if you buy resale. I'm curious to find out.
Right, which is like, another
okay,
great approach to sales is not being pushy, not being
yeah. So she was great, but I also think that's just a testament to Disney Vacation Club in general. They're just not very pushy. They know they have a good product, and you know, and the whole idea is like we're. we're a timeshare, but we're not a timeshare, right? Like,
you know. I also think that I think the reason they're not pushy, all they have to do is plant the seed. All they have to do is show you the hotels, show you the rooms, tell you what you can do, and then just let you go. Yeah. Just give you the $100 gift card and just let you go. Because within 30 days, I really wonder if there's anyone who can give us this information, what the percentage of people within 30 days that don't buy day of email or call back and say, we're ready.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the conversion rate there?
Well, right.
Fascinating.
And I wonder, like, all right, so the person that went to a Wyndham in, say, Cancun and got the spiel, right, and then left, went home, and is thinking about it. When you go home, are you like, yeah, that was a good trip, but, you know, are you like dreaming of getting back to Cancun?
Right.
But Disney, everyone knows that, like, when you leave Disney World, the first thing you're thinking about is
going back to Disney
when
World.
Is my yeah. next yeah, trip right, to yeah. Disney right. World, right?
When do I get to go back? When do I get to bring this person that I didn't get to go with this time?
Yep. We have to go back.
So, Michael, why did you I feel like were direct the entire way.
Right. Yeah, I think I ultimately wanted to have, I think they call it the blue card.
Yeah, well, it used to be a blue card when you actually got a card.
Physical card, where you got those direct benefits. You know, at that point, I didn't have an annual pass. And if I was going to go to Disney every year, those benefits that come with DVC, the percentage off on dining, the percentage off on merch, and so on and so forth. I also just thought, if we're doing this, let's do it the legit way. Not that the secondary market isn't legit. It just takes a little bit more research and understanding. Also, this was, you know, for me, probably the biggest purchase I had made up to date at that time. And I wanted it to just be to code and through Disney official and all that kind of stuff. But you do get those direct benefits. And I almost wonder, and I can't speak to this, if there is some kind of waiver priority when it comes to wait lists or ability to book when you're registering. Oh, sorry, when you're booking DVC and or putting in a wait list. If you are direct, you're ranked higher than perhaps someone who bought on the secondary market.
That would be a very big scandal.
I think a reason why you bought, or you wanted to buy direct, and specifically the family, your family members who also bought, is that what it did was it gave you the ability to buy an annual pass and that was different than the only one that's available to non-Florida residents. So, there's a specific annual pass tier for DVC members that is also the third highest pass tier that you can get. That is only accessible by whether you're a Florida resident or you're a DVC member. So that allowed you, your sister, your parents to get that annual pass.
Yeah.
When otherwise you wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah, for the longest time, Emily and I were going down like a weekend every once in a while. And when you're paying for 1 or 2 days to get into the parks,
it's maximum price.
I
mean, we're
the discounts we're probably, only the discounts only started. They started 3 days.
Yeah.
So two days. It's God. It's I just did it. 2 days. It was like $260, $270 for
And
maybe more actually. It was I think
we're
it was
probably
like
there.
I think
right,
it's like $150, $180 a day.
Yeah. We're probably there right now. When this episode comes out, we might be there right now for my bachelor party.
Yeah. Could be.
And there will have been
the price for a day 10 or 11
guys
is $165,
and then after tax it was $174 something. I just bought the ticket.
Yeah. $174.
Yeah, it's expensive, and it you know. Theoretically, if you get an annual pass, you hopefully take advantage of it and you're able to go to the park as much as you wish, you know.
Wait a minute. I love that idea.
So anyway, that's why we decided to go through Disney. I think I would actually go through resale in any future contracts I buy, because I feel like I want to buy more contracts. I think I would go through resale in the future. And through Disney, I would only buy if it was a brand new resort where you're getting 50 golden years.
The more we hear about this, the more I think that it's almost an investment strategy if they ever announce that there's going to be a resort that opens that gets 50 full years.
Yeah.
That it's, you just pile as much money as
I mean, the Riviera's going to get, it has right now 43 left, right?
Right. I know, like, and you know. I wish I was a little more on top of my Disney stuff 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Because that would have been such a, it would have been, like you said, a golden opportunity.
Or 5 years ago, actually. I think it came out in 2019.
So how exactly did you guys both land on your specific home resorts?
So, Michael, you wanted to do...
Yeah, so originally
right, right, you were talking about Beach Club.
Yeah, so I would love, I was loving Beach Club. I wanted to buy a Beach Club, but it's expensive. It's one of the more expensive resorts, and each DVC resort has a different price per point and different dues, which you pay, and you know, you guys have discussed that in a previous episode. So I was interested in that. I was also interested in Polynesian after staying there. I, you know, and because I had stayed at both of those resorts, it was real to me. It was, I know what it's going to, I know what I can expect year after year staying there. So then we, after talking to our rep, you know, realized that there was such a good deal going on at Saratoga. The more points you bought at Saratoga Springs, the lower price per point it was going to cost us. So one of the opportunities that we had, since we were going to buy into a deed together and have multiple contracts on that deed, which meant Andrew and Emily had a contract, myself had a contract, your parents had a contract, that we were having more points that we were buying, so we were going to get the ultimate amount of discount price per point that we could right. get.
And so this is what also led us to increase the amount of points that we were buying, because I thought to myself, well, we'll never be able to buy direct points for this cheap ever again. We might as well get as many as we could possibly buy now, because, like, you know, if we wanted to add on direct later, you're going to be paying full price.
Right. So, you know, and for me personally at that time, when we decided to do Saratoga, I said, okay, I don't know about this. I understand you can use these points to book any resort potentially. You could get Polynesian with your Saratoga points. You get Alani with your Saratoga points. I decided to pull back from maybe doing 150, 200. I did 100. But I wanted to see. I wanted to play in the sandbox. And I did that with Saratoga. And then 6 months later, I purchased another 100 at Grand Floridian. So that was just me alone doing that, which I wanted to get a resort that was on the Magic Kingdom, you know, the loop there, the Monorail loop. I wanted that.
Grand Flow represents the thing that's most, I mean, the situation that we're in, all four of us, we're adults that don't have children. For a Monorail resort, Grand Floridian is the optimal option. It is the most relaxing feeling of those three. It's the biggest escape.
Relaxing, I guess.
Yeah, well, because...
But there's less kids.
It's like a... Yeah, it feels more like an escape.
I almost feel like the Grand Floridian would feel the most relaxed just because it feels so stuffy. You can't even really talk too loud in there, or else someone's going to yell at you because it's...
Well, if the piano player is playing, then you can talk a little louder. It's not that bad.
Until you see everyone like walking around in their bathing suit or they're sweating from the park day and, you know.
When it comes to staying at the Grand Floridian, I've stayed there 4 times now since owning DVC there. And, you know, it really is... Sure, it has this air about itself that it's the max you can get at Disney besides the Four Seasons. But, you know, it's very family friendly. There is the great family pool with the Mad Hatter play splash pad.
Yeah, it's very funny. We sat on the patio outside of what's the bar? Enchanted Rose.
Yeah.
And just watched. There's this one kid just kept, when the water spills out, just one kid just getting absolutely pummeled by an entire thing of water. Just would keep going back and keep going back and keep going back. And
that's so fun.
Very funny. Just watch this one kid just keep getting owned by an entire
like giant bucket of water.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. And then, and that makes it a family resort. And so you do have people walking around in their bathing suits and shorts and families and all that kind of stuff. But you really have these high end experiences too, that Citra Coast is a great restaurant. And Channa Rose, we just
have
mentioned.
Have you been to Narcoossee's?
Narcoossee's fantastic.
Yeah.
The renovation they did there is wonderful. I think the menu there is great. I've also been to Victoria.
I was going to say, have you done Victoria and Albert's?
I've done Victoria and Albert's. Very lucky to have done that with my girlfriend, Emily, not my sister, Emily. And that was a remarkable experience. I would highly recommend doing that. You know, but you do pay a lot. But
but
the experience you get is from a different age, right?
You know.
Where they're waiting on you hand and foot. They're, you know, the food quality.
And it's also, it's a chef prepared.
Yes.
I'm the world's pickiest eater. So it would not be something that would ever be worth the money for me. But
well, if you're picky and you say, okay, I don't do mushrooms, right? And there are probably two to three dishes that have mushrooms or whatever, because it's typically a 7 to 9 course meal, depending on which room you're in. You could say, chef, I don't want any mushrooms in anything. They will substitute for
you.
Yeah. You know, the optional.
There's only like 5 people in there.
Well, in the Queen Victoria room, which is what we were in, there were only 4 tables. We were 1 of 4.
Wow.
And that was the only sitting the entire night for that table. So our table, which is right in the corner, right by the fireplace.
Now, do you get your own table or are you with other people?
Own table.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
They have that table for the entire night.
We were there from 7 o'clock to 12.
Wow.
12:30, 12.
Wow.
And no one sits before that.
No one sits before that. No one sits after us.
The only butt in that chair.
Yeah. Only butt in that chair. And our waiter, Christopher, was fantastic.
Nice.
He walked us down that journey from the food sense, but we did the optional wine pairing. That
was my next question. Because I know you pay in advance, kind of like a pay one price for the meal, but and then is food and drink, or drinks rather, is just a la carte.
So you can do a la carte. They have an extensive spirits list. They have every year of Pappy Van Winkle.
Ooh.
Star, I don't know Pappy very well, but I think there was like the 10, the 12, the 20 something, the 30 something. And you can even do a Pappy flight.
Wow.
Ooh. You could get a Woodford Reserve, but you could also get a glass of Jarvis, Cabernet Franc, or whatever wine that they have to offer. But then you can add on an optional wine pairing. So every course comes with wine. A wine.
They have a Michelin star, right?
Michelin star.
They just got it. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. It was so cool. I highly recommend. But you're shelling out.
Yeah, and you got to get dolled up too, right?
Yeah, I wore a suit jacket.
I was going to say that is the only place, like even places like California Grill say they have a dress code. And all
it's
that
almost
means,
never can be enforced.
No.
Yeah.
No.
All that means is like, don't be a sweaty mess when you show up.
You can't. So that's where you're not wearing your bathing suit, your shorts.
Right.
But there was a gentleman in the same room that we were in that didn't have a suit jacket, so that was fine. I also wore my suede Hokas. So
heck
like,
yeah.
like single color suede Hokas. Like I don't wear dress shoes, so if I can't, if they told me that I couldn't come in with those on, I was leaving. And they were going to lose my table, and that's fine. But the Grand Floridian has a lot of options that span the gamut.
JJ, to your question too about like how do we choose our resort? Like, yes, Saratoga was the cheapest per point at the time, direct. But to our listeners, you shouldn't just take that into consideration. Like, I had created an elaborate spreadsheet that measured what my wife and I thought were the most important characteristics of a resort. So we jotted down the 14 most important characteristics of a resort and then rated them on how important they were to us, and then rated each resort based on those characteristics to give us a final result. And
so if you want access to that spreadsheet, email readygeeks@gmail.com.
Yeah, and I will be happy to put that on Teachers Pay Teachers for you. No, I'm just kidding. I'll definitely give that away. Like that was fine. It is very elaborate. But like there's so much to think about. Like, you know, the do's is very important. You could get a Vero Beach or a Hilton Head contract for super cheap through Disney or resale, but the dues are going to be twice as much for the rest of the contract, right? So for like maybe the next 30 years, you're paying twice as much dues. That adds up to probably more money than what you saved on the per price. Also, just like, you know, different things like not every resort has the same room type. Not every resort, for instance, Poly, famously, up until this Island Tower opens soon, right? That's going to be in like 2 months that it opens. Up until then, they only had studios that sleep a maximum of five, or
the bungalows.
The bungalows that sleep nine, right? But they didn't have any grand villas that sleep 12. They didn't have any one bedrooms where you have a full kitchen, right? They didn't have any two bedrooms where you can have separation between different groups.
Right, that sleep like the two bedrooms, what, sleep like six or eight, depending on the
Two bedroom, will sleep, a two bedroom will generally sleep nine, actually.
Oh, right, because it's two queen beds, right, so that's four right there.
So,
and then,
actually, the bungalows are considered, like, a two-bedroom.
So they had two bedrooms, but they didn't have the three, which is the grand villa.
Right, but they're not priced like two bedrooms. They're priced like grand villas.
Right, because they're water bungalows that have private hot tubs.
Dipping pools, you can see the fireworks every night from there. They pump in the music to your balcony.
Disney has already put a price on how much being able to watch the fireworks to the music costs. Yeah. And it's definitely a premium because Ohana, Narcoozie's, California Grill, these are all premium. You pay an extra price.
Mm-hmm.
Just because when the fireworks play,
you're gonna get
an experience.
Do you think you would ever splurge on the points to stay at a bungalow?
Oh, at a bungalow, I actually don't even know. Like, I could do one night or two nights.
Really?
Okay. But I have 200 points. If I bank and borrowed, I can have a maximum of 600 points.
Okay.
And I mean, I can get a couple nights out of it. But that means I can't go to Disney for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's that many points.
It's that many.
It's points. Like 300 something a
night. It's absurd amount of money. You think about it. Cash. If you go to Disney's website and go to look up that to stay at that,
I think they're over $1,000 a night.
$1,500 to $2,000.
Yeah. It actually caused a big problem with the Poly Resort because nobody bought Poly Resort thinking that they were ever going to stay at the bungalows. So everyone that bought into Poly Resort is fighting for the same studios,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a big problem with Poly.
The towers are going to fix that problem.
The towers going to fix
it. But they're going to sell more points too, so you're going to have more people.
And then more people in the Poly, and some of them will grab studios sometimes, and some of them will
stay. Well, it's exactly what's happened at the Grand Floridian. You know, they reintroduced the new building 2 years ago, which is when I bought the extra 100 points that I have now. And there are two different room types. There's a room type that has the typical, you know, standard DVC, which has a single bed and the pull down Murphy bed, so you know, and then you have that fifth sleeper. But then they have this new building where it's two queen beds in each room,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of nice. Rather than, you know, the layout is different. So to your point, you get these different layouts for these different resorts, and it, you know, it just depends on where you have those.
So we wanted to go with Saratoga because it goes further than the 2042 resorts.
Yep.
It was cheap for the price per point. It is relatively cheap on dues because of how big it is, right?
Right. We've spoken about how large Saratoga is.
Yeah.
It's so large it has two feature pools.
Right.
So large it has three or four quiet pools, right? It's a gigantic resort.
Good location. Good location.
Great location. So you guys, obviously, you've bit the bullet. We've heard Michael initially bought 100 and then added 100. Andrew, what did you end up with as far as points?
So we ended up getting 200.
Okay, so you guys are both the same then.
No, yeah, well, now we are.
Right.
Yeah.
You guys both have 200 points.
Yep. 200 points. So we ended up getting 200 points, and the Saratoga points allow us to, because Saratoga never sells out. It does sell out, but it's the last resort to sell out because of how big it is. And so home resort doesn't really have any benefit. Having it as your home resort, like, you have no really 11-month benefit because you can get that same room at 6 months, at 5 months, right? So we bought...
Right, because it is the last resort to sell out.
Right.
Which is also then a benefit to if you go... Oh, it's my 40th birthday. It's whatever.
Absolutely.
I want a special occasion. I want to stay at the Grand Floridian. I want to stay at this. You'll know 11 months out.
Yeah.
And you'll be the first one in.
Yeah.
Right.
So we use those 200 points as like network points. And we try to stay in as many other resorts as possible.
Okay. So what trips have you guys have done? What have you done with the points?
I was just going to say to that point, pun intended. Emily and I, we have a tradition of staying at the Grand Floridian every July 4th. And knowing I can book that 11 months in advance is great. It means, because I have the home resort points there, I can in August get on the DVC site and book that, knowing we're going to do that every year. So that's a real nice benefit of that. But we've also done the Animal Kingdom. We stayed at Jumbo House. We did Bay Lake as an impromptu. It was a week or two out where I said, you know what, let's go on and see if there's anything available. And there happened to be two nights available on Friday, Saturday at Bay Lake Tower. So we just booked it.
What a nice little weekend.
Yeah. And then the fact that we're in Florida is very beneficial to that because we can just
pop over.
Yeah, pop over and stay. We've done Riviera, Boardwalk, and Beach Club. And the fun thing, too, is we've done studios and we've done one bedrooms. The most recent Grand Floridian trip we did, we stayed at a one bedroom for 5 nights, 6 days. I borrowed some points from the year coming up, but a one bedroom changes the game. As you guys have previously discussed in the episodes, one bedroom allows you to have a full kitchen.
And with you guys both being vegan, that is a huge benefit.
Yes, we were able to cook breakfast, cook dinner, cook snacks, We brought a ton of water and all this kind of stuff. We just had the space. And you have in-suite laundry, washer and a dryer.
And we know JJ.
Tide Pod JJ approves of doing laundry on your vacation.
Yeah, so Emily got a stain on her sweatshirt or whatever, you know, that I had nothing to do with by accidentally hitting her wine glass or whatever. But we were able to throw that in the washer and, you know, it was fine. You know, that is a huge advantage of a one-bedroom that you typically are not going to have access to buying rooms through cash. You get that through DVC.
For my trips, so Emily and I, our first trip using the points, we stayed at Boardwalk, and we actually split those, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
We did. Yeah, we took some from yours, some from mine.
Remember, you booked two or three nights, and I booked the other two or three nights. Then we combined the reservations.
Did we say how we bought on the same deed? Yes, we did. We did. And I would like to say about that, actually, is that I do not recommend buying on the same deed with a large group
of people.
With
your in-laws?
Yeah. And it's something that we came to realize is that, like, you can't transfer points between contracts as easily. And, like, you actually can't do it at all when you're on the same deed. But, you know, if, like, it's when we say it's that was Michael's contract. Well, no, if we're on the same deed, it's also my contract, right? And it's also my sister's contract, and it's also my other brother-in-law's of my sister. You know, like it's all of our contracts all together because we're all on the same deed. We all have equal ownership of them. If someone passes away unexpectedly, like tragically, or if there's a divorce that happens, or if any life-changing thing happens, like, it could put everyone's points at risk. So I really don't recommend doing that. We did it, and then we quickly separated. We retitled our deed and separated all of our contracts. It cost a little bit extra, but we still saved in the long run.
Yeah, to your point, though, it isn't as clean as if we just had done it
individually.
And you don't get as big of a discount price per point. So you have to go through the headache of retitling, which, you know, is a process. It isn't like just going to the store and getting your item and then leaving. You know, you have to really go through that process.
I wrote on a thread, on a DVC thread, that of what we did, and I got ripped apart by people being like, that is so stupid. Like, you know, like, what if this happens? What if that happens? Yeah. What if this happens? Like, your whole like money is at jeopardy here. And like,
well, right. And luckily you and my sister are going to be together forever. So,
you know, absolutely.
And you have a great family, you know, we trust each other. And, you know, if you had just been dating my sister for a year, okay, maybe that's not the right move, but you guys have been married for a couple of years. You've been dating since 2016. So we're looking at almost 10 years. You know, there's this level of trust. Yeah. We do Christmas Eve with your family. Like, we are very close.
We're all very close.
And and there's, you know, so much so that when we got into an experience where by accidentally, I mean, maybe we don't need to include this in the podcast. You can decide. So just get rid of this part that I'm talking about right now. But
it's staying in. I'm looking at how long we've been recording for. It's staying in.
There was a situation where someone else's contract's points was used for someone else's stay, and we were able to sort that out, you know, because we're so close and we're able to communicate and all that kind of stuff, and it all ended up being okay. But yeah, there is a risk buying multiple contracts on the same deed, and you never know, right? Life happens when you're trying to make other plans. So, you know, it can be risky.
So we stayed at Boardwalk that first time, our welcome home. And then since then, my wife and I, we've stayed at Boardwalk two other times. We stayed at the Polynesian over a Thanksgiving break. That was really nice. And the fact that we were able to get that at the 7-month window was great. We've been to Hawaii. We had our honeymoon in Alani. We stayed in Alani in Hawaii. So that was great. Animal Kingdom Lodge we went to. We went to Vero Beach, which is not at Disney World, but, you know, on the shore.
But it's Disney's Vero Beach Resort.
It's Disney's Vero Beach Resort. Yeah. It is a DVC resort. So it has a good redemption rate. And, of course, we've stayed at Saratoga. But we own at Saratoga, and we've only stayed at Saratoga once.
Yeah. So to that point is...
Saratoga just feels so far away from everything.
Yeah.
Because it's like the closest one to Disney
It's at Springs.
Springs.
It's at Springs.
It is at Disney Springs, yeah.
Like, if you're having a, like, if we're having like a bro trip or something like that, like maybe Saratoga Springs.
We should do that with your points.
We should.
Yeah,
and Saratoga
Springs. Emily, earmuffs.
The Treehouse Villas or the three-bedroom grand villa. I mean, yeah, we should definitely do that.
That would be
really cool. Your deed is 40. So convoluted that we might as well just add Reedy Geeks Corporate to it.
We need to LLC that.
I'll contact the lawyer.
Yeah.
We got to get the CFO in on that.
Calm down, Rover. I was only kidding.
So we've gone through your entire story, your journey, your points, your trips. Do you have any regrets buying DVC?
No, at this point, I don't think of it as regretful.
Because I did want to ask you, as someone who now lives once again minutes.
Yes.
Minutes from property.
Right.
Do you feel
can't possibly be more than a $30 Uber away?
It's not even.
Even at the highest surge, like you could be there on the 4th of July and it'd be the biggest surge that exists in Disney, and you could get back to your house for like $30.
But you've got a beautiful new home. There still is excitement when you think that, even though it's literally minutes away, staying at a Disney resort.
Yeah, 100%. I think that there's something so magical about staying on property versus, you know, going back to your home. Even though my home is only, you know, 15 minutes away, it's still so nice to be able to just be in the ecosystem, being in the world. When I'm going back to, and you're at a resort, you're on vacation, right? You know, when I'm going back to my condo, it's not vacation,
right?
You know, it's our home, and it's a lovely place to live, but that's that vacation aspect that you get by staying on property is wonderful,
right?
And I actually think, and Andrew and I debated a lot about this in the beginning, is if you lived in Florida, why would you need DVC? Well, okay, fair. There's a good question there. But one of the benefits is you're able to go more spontaneously.
Yeah.
So I can look a week in advance, 2 weeks, a month in advance and say, oh, Bay Lake Tower opened up or Yacht Club, but you know, whatever opened up, let's jump on it.
I would imagine that if I lived in, let's say, Tampa, where I'm like an hour and a half away from Disney, maybe even a little farther, where I'm like, oh, it's 2 hours there, usually a little better if I, you know, stay a couple of days. Yeah. Like DVC, like you could just go, oh, wait, this is available for this many points? It's this time of year and this thing still hasn't sold? This is a sign. I'm just going to go jump over
here. I don't think living in Florida is necessarily anything that should preclude someone from purchasing, because there are people that own houses in upstate New York. And they go up there and they vacation there and
they stay there and
buying DVC at the price you're buying it, you know, it's not the same as buying a home, but like you're paying real estate, you're paying a mortgage basically to have DVC. So
yeah.
I don't think staying in Florida should preclude anyone from getting DVC, because people vacation in the same state they live in all the time.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
As long as you like staying on property, right?
Right.
Yeah. If you
own DVC and you live in Florida, but you're going to Airbnb it, I'm not sure what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. It wouldn't be worth buying DVC if you don't like want to stay on at Disney. If you enjoy, like, you know, like the tradition that Emily and I have created, where we're going to stay at the Grand Floridian, we set aside that time each year at July 4th. Perfect use case for DVC.
Do every 4th of July at the Grand Floridian?
Last 3 years, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been
great.
That's
so cool.
It's lovely.
Because you're in Magic Kingdom. You go to Magic Kingdom, you watch the fireworks, you hop on a monorail, you're back at the...
Well, we walk. Take the Grand Floridian walkway.
Yeah. Oh, you walk.
Yeah, you can do
that now.
That's
okay.
Real, that's real hot. That's a hot walk.
It's a hot walk. Yeah. We're hot people, though.
I tried to walk from the Grand Floridian to the golf course, like Shades of Green, and they stopped me. They said I had to walk back and take a cab.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
People are not allowed to walk onto the property. You have to come in via...
Was that just recently?
That was in June, yeah.
Yeah, so they used to have a crosswalk, and I think they got rid of it when they made the Island Tower. For some reason, that changed.
The construction is messing all that up.
Yeah.
It probably will. I would imagine it has to go away.
Yeah.
It's going to come back, I think, because you have too many people who are so close in Shades of Green.
To want to just walk across the street to go to Narcoosie's for dinner. And then they can't.
Yeah, right.
I can see maybe a bridge. Yeah. Like maybe a pedestrian bridge.
Feels like that's insulting to the troops.
Fair enough.
And God bless our troops.
And so I really don't have any regrets. The only thing I was thinking about saying was like maybe I could have done what Michael did and only get 100 points. But really, I don't think we would have. I think we would have just worked within our constraints of 100 points and like not actually bought more points like Michael did. I would also say like I'm always so jealous of like people that own at Boardwalk or own at like a resort that I want to stay at. Not that I don't want to stay at Saratoga, but it's like one of my last resorts I want to stay at. To own there that can decide at 11 months that they're going to stay there. Like that is such a nice benefit. But like now looking at all the places I've stayed, like, you know, we're doing pretty well for ourselves.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Like we
with the marketplace component.
We're staying at Boardwalk all the time. We done Poly. I actually think Poly's pretty easy to get into sometimes because of how many rooms they have, and I don't know, Animal Kingdom Lodge.
It's only going to get easier at Poly too.
Because I think the people that are going to buy Poly now are people that want one bedroom and two bedrooms. That's the reason why I didn't buy Poly to begin with, because they don't have any. And I think that it might lighten up the studio
demand.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is your guys' future with DVC look like?
So for me,
I could see adding on in the future at like Grand Florida, at the Grand Californian in Disneyland.
Oh, you're okay.
I would love to do that. And
but Grand Californian is awesome.
Yeah.
I've never stayed there, but I obviously
you've seen
I've lived in Los Angeles for 3 years, and I've been in that lobby. I've spent some time people watching there.
The bar there is great. I don't know if they're open till 1 a.m. Well, great espresso martini.
All right.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You know what? I've never drank there.
Oh,
in the Grand Californian. Every time I've been in the Grand Californian, it was more of a. It was part of more of a family trip.
Sure. Sure.
And less of a. Like every time I've been there with friends and it was more of a party situation, we weren't really going into any of the resorts, except I have spent nights. We did go to the Trader Sam's in California. I went there for a friend's birthday one time and it was
nice. Yeah. Emily and I, there was a month into dating. I took her to Disneyland and
that's you guys. You boys trying to impress your ladies.
I know we were, and
you know what's funny is I also did the same thing. I took Sam to Disneyland.
Oh, amazing!
When we were about 6 months into dating, but we were long distance, so this was probably really only like the fourth or fifth time we were really like physically together.
Yeah,
right. Like probably the fifth time we were together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only other idea I'd have is Boardwalk. I mean, we've stayed at Boardwalk a bunch of times. That I think that's our favorite resort to stay at. And I would like to buy a Boardwalk contract resale, but only when it has like 10 years left, 15 years left. I think the price of the resale has to come down at that point because the contract
when the contract date.
Yeah. And so then just so we get like 10 years of like, really nice cheese and wine festival, you know, stays or something like that.
Cheese and wine?
Oh, sorry.
Food and wine.
Just so that we get like 10 years of food and wine festival stays.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. You know, and it'd be interesting to see at the 10-year mark how cheap the resale of something like Boardwalk or Beach Club comes to. And, you know, scoop in there, grab a 50-point contract, maybe 100. And... yeah, exactly. Enjoy 10 years of that.
Yeah.
For sure.
I wonder if even something like Old Key West, when it gets closer, I wonder what happens with that. It's interesting to think.
Well, that will have to wait longer because that one is
54.
Okay, so what's the soonest?
The soonest is going to be Beach Club, Boardwalk, Hilton Head, Vero, and Boulder Ridge. They are the five that have 2042.
Okay.
Yep.
And Boulder Ridge is Wilderness Lodge.
Wilderness Lodge. Yeah.
I don't personally know if I'll be adding any more DVC. That's going to be a
200 points is good.
200 points is good. I would add more, but that is now a conversation that
amount of points is enough.
No. Yeah. I would agree. I would agree. Yeah. You know, that would be a conversation I'd have with my significant other and what it looks like for our family going forward. But it is nice to have done that already. And that is something that then we can really enjoy for ultimately the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Grand Floridian is going to be till 2064. I don't know how old I'll be in 30 years, but.
But 30 years older.
30 years older. Do the math yourself, idiot.
And, you can do the math. Your age starts with a 3, and now and then it will start with a 6.
6, exactly, yeah. If I'm still going to Disney at that point and I'm healthy enough to enjoy it, then, you know.
It would definitely going to be going to Disney.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I think we're well past time.
Yeah.
We do have one more question.
What was it?
Right? I'll just ask it. What's the best thing about being a DVC member?
Knowing that I am going back to Disney, staying at deluxe resorts, and like you still have to budget it in, right? But it's not even like a question. You know what I mean? It's just it's gonna happen. You know, we're gonna do it.
Well, it becomes part of your yearly routine, or maybe bi-yearly. If you're going to bank in your points or you're going to borrow your points. Exactly. If you want to go to Disney year after year, that's what they – and it's so funny because they say that in the DVC promotional material. Stay year after year, stay magical year after year. it really is that. You get to go every year. And if that's something you're interested in, it's 100% worth looking into it.
Yeah.
Right. So actually, I lied to you. I do have one more question.
Okay.
Do you think we have time for a game?
Absolutely not. No. No, we're done.
I have a bad feeling about this.
All right. So Sean, maybe you want to take us out?
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Reedy Geeks podcast. Like, listen, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on our socials at Reedy Geeks and submit any questions, comments, or future topic suggestions to ReedyGeeks@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.
Oh, Jax, it's an honorary title. They're not coming with us.
I see. It was meaningless. Well, then welcome to the Guardians of the Galaxy.
This week's honest send-off comes courtesy of Drax from Mount Kylos.
If you have an honest send-off that you want played at the end of one of our episodes, please submit an audio clip to us via our email address, ReedyGeeks@gmail.com. Reedy Geeks, a Walt Disney World podcast, is hosted and executive produced by Andrew Schoppe, Sean Murphy, and J.J. Hefner. Music and audio engineering by J.J. Hefner.
Bon voyage!